This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
The post-Christmas sales are on, and if you go to any shopping centre, you'll find the place packed with shoppers looking for a bargain. But before we head off and mindlessly walk around the mall, do you think about what you really need, particularly when it comes to clothing? And just because it's on sale, do you really need to buy it? What are you going to do when you get home and you need to make hanging space for the new purchases? What happens to your existing clothes? Are they perfectly fine? Well, Dr. Taylor Bridges is a research principal at the Institute for Sustainable Futures at University Technology Sydney. Welcome to Joy Drive, Taylor.
Thank you for having me.
Now, how do we rank in terms of our consumption of clothing with, say, the rest of the world?
Yeah, so Australia now ranks as the world's second highest consumers of clothing textiles per person. So we're only behind the United States on that one. Because on average, we're purchasing 56 items of clothing each and every year.
Oh my goodness, 56 items. I'm just thinking about it now. I mean, I probably purchased about 4 t-shirts and a couple of pairs of undies throughout the year. But seriously, 56 items of clothing is what we're doing.
And that's low for some people. And there was research that was done looking back at our consumption patterns in the past, and they found that in the 1950s, a guide to good dressing found that 50 items would suffice for the average person. And now we're seeing in Western countries, that can be, if we look in our closet, anywhere from 400 to 700 items in our closet. So we're definitely beyond what we need to get out the door every day.
Taylor, what I find, if I open my cupboard at the moment and I look at all my clothes in there, I probably have one pile that I seem to just gravitate towards, and the rest, I don't even know what's in there at the moment. Is that typical? We only wear a certain percentage of what we've got in our cupboard?
Yeah, so research has found that it's approximately 40% of our clothing is what we're reaching to on a regular basis. And the rest, there's items that maybe used to fit, items we hope will fit again one day. You mentioned those Black Friday sales. It's cheaper when you buy 3 or 4 items. And then we just have these overflowing closets of items that, yeah, increasingly we're not wearing or all that interested in.
So what happens, Taylor, if, let's say, like I said before, you know, we're heading off to the shopping centre, we're just going to buy some clothes. Like you said, you know, it's 3 t-shirts for the price of 1. We get our new whatever. We bring them home and we have to make room to put them in our cupboard. What are we doing with our existing clothes, and particularly if they are still, you know, reasonable and quite fit for wear?
So the charitable sector in Australia really is doing a lot of the heavy lifting for us as consumers when we have those items that we no longer want. It's been estimated in Australia, charity shops are receiving over 200,000 tons of clothing donations annually. And I think with charity shops, they're doing such important work in our communities, but they can't process and be reselling all of the clothes that we're giving. So we often think we donate that shirt that we thought was really cute at the time, and someone else in our neighborhood is going to find it and love it and wear it. Increasingly, the majority of the clothes that we donate will actually be sorted and enter this highly globalized secondhand networks, where those clothes are going to end up increasingly overseas, and more often than not, they're going to end up in landfill because there's simply too many clothes being made and then eventually or quite quickly being sent over to charity shops.
And what happens with do we know what happens with the clothing that, or the used clothing that ends up overseas, or is that just, you know, goes into the overseas bucket? I mean, that could end up in landfill overseas.
Exactly. So in Australia, an estimated 2% of the clothes that we dispose of are actually being recycled. So currently in Australia, we don't have the recycling infrastructure in place to be collecting the clothes that we are disposing of and no longer want, and actually recycling our old t-shirts into a new one. Now, hopefully that will be changing with Seamless. It's the National Product Stewardship Scheme for Clothing Textiles, which is really embracing and building a circular economy for fashion in Australia. But it's not there yet. So it's a stay tuned for recycling domestically. But those clothes that are going overseas that you asked about, we're sending clothes to countries that equally don't have the recycling infrastructure needed to manage those clothes. So like you said, we're seeing these fast fashion graveyards in countries all over the world where our clothes and the synthetics and the microfibers are all washing into water sources in other countries into the soil. So it really is a much bigger environmental problem than we realize. And also we just don't see it.
Taylor, what's the solution if we want to do something, you know, at a grassroots level, take ownership ourselves? I mean, it's easy for me because, you know, I'm not a fashionable person. I wear shorts and T-shirts. It's simple. I can, you know, I only need a few of them and I can wear them until they get a hole in them or what have you. But what can we do as individuals if we know that if we put our clothes in the bin that goes for a charity or we take it down to the charity and we know that only, you know, what is it, 2% of it is actually being recycled or what have you? What can we do as individuals to help improve the process until you called it a seamless initiative, until that is really in place, what can we do?
So we have seen organizations or businesses like Apparel, which are offering services to consumers where you can have a box sent to your house, you can fill that box with unwanted textiles, and then they will be recycled. So we are seeing new recycling initiatives, which are really exciting and offering consumers an alternative to the charity shop, for particularly for those items that can't be resold or to landfill. But I appreciate what you say about, yeah, you've got those, your staples in your closet. But I think all of us, whether we admit it or we think we're fashionable or not, we are all part of the fashion industry and the decisions that we're making around our consumption and our care practices as well. So keeping those shorts in as good a condition for as long as possible. Those are all really important decisions we can make day to day. And even thinking of alternatives to ownership. So if you have a special event to go to and you don't have a ball gown in the back of your closet, there's fantastic rental platforms that can send multiple dresses or suits to your house for that special event. You have a great time. You take the photos in it. You can return it back and someone else can have those garments. And the kind of other community initiatives, there's been lots of local councils and community groups organizing clothing swaps. And also, so you can bring those items out of your closet that you think somebody else might appreciate and swap them for someone else in your community, their garments. So there are lots of also less expensive and also even those non-monetary or free options to still kind of get the newness in our closets, but in a way that's more environmentally sustainable as well.
We're chatting with Dr. Taylor Bridges, Research Principal at the Institute for Sustainable Futures at the University Technology Sydney, about fashion over consumption, and we'll get onto some trends for 2024. Taylor, just on that, I mean, if I'm thinking about all the consumption that we have, all the stuff that is going to landfill, etc., has anyone measured the impact that it has on climate change and global warming, the fashion industry?
Yes, it's the Ellen MacArthur Foundation has found that if the fashion industry doesn't change from our current systems, it will actually consume more than 26% of our global carbon budget linked to that 2% global warming limit by 2050. So again, that industry that we think of, oh, it's frivolous, it's glamorous, we don't need to take it seriously, has significant environmental and social sustainability impact. So it is an industry that we really do need to be taking much more seriously.
What is the rest of the world doing in terms of reducing the amount of fashion waste that there is?
There's some exciting developments that are coming from Europe that we'll keep an eye on. One is that there's a ban on destroying unsold clothing, accessories, and footwear that will soon come into effect, because it really is crazy to think about that we could have a garment or a pair of shoes that's gone through these highly globalized supply chains. Raw materials have been produced, they've been sewn, they've been shipped, they've been sent to a retail store, they're unsold, and businesses decide that burning those items is the right thing to do at the end of that garment or accessory's life. So important new legislation coming in saying that that's not going to be allowed anymore. And that's going to force brands to be thinking about the amount of items that they're producing, because they actually will be responsible for that item at end of life. And I think closer to home, with the National Product Stewardship Scheme for Clothing Textiles, Seamless, entering its next phase of development. They've just announced a new CEO and there's new governance and operations being set up. I just think Australia has such an exciting opportunity to become a world leader in setting the stage for product stewardship and businesses operating in Australia taking responsibility for the clothing, accessories, and garments that are produced at the end of its life. I think Australia has an opportunity to really be a world leader, so it's going to be a really exciting year.
Which would be great if we didn't. But if you look at, I suppose, fashion trends occur out there, you know, everyone's on social media at the moment, there's a trend that comes. Yes. I suppose, on a personal level, how can we step away from, you know, that having to get on this trend and having to be part of the trend and therefore having to purchase new clothing just to be part of this trend that may only last, you know, a few weeks or a few months or what have you, and then we throw the garment out. What can we do as individuals?
Yeah, it's exhausting, isn't it? Even a few months ago, we were all wearing hot pink with Barbie. Mattel did a fantastic job of taking over the world. And it didn't matter if you were at the gym or on a walk or at work, you saw at least one person, likely more, wearing hot pink. And now it's already been replaced with the pop of red that you see on Instagram and all of the influencers. So it's so challenging, though, to try and take yourself off of that wheel, because we're exposed to it all the time. Like you mentioned, the ads and Instagram. But I think a really kind of opportunity for us is to kind of think about our own personal style, what we wear, what we like, what fits our own lifestyle, and shopping and wearing and thinking about our clothes in a much more personal way, because that will kind of act as a little bit of a guard, because when we have all of these trends and endless styles kind of coming at us every day.
You know, Taylor, something that really annoys me, and I did buy my three-pack of new undies local outlet, and something that really annoys me is those little plastic things that they have to tie the garments together. They're just this tiny little plastic thing, and you snip them and they're so small that they fall onto the floor, and you think, oh my goodness, if I can't find it, it's going to end up washing outside somewhere, washing down the drain, end up in the ocean, someone's going to, you know, some fish is going to swallow it. Those little tiny plastic things, is the garment industry doing anything to make, I suppose, the packaging of the fashion as well much more sustainable?
It is, and it's slow to come, and it's a difficult one because fashion and garments need protection as the fibers and then the zippers and the buttons and the sequins and then our finished garments are being shipped literally all around the world before they get to us. So they do need to be protected in some way, shape, or form in order for a garment to get to us that's not damaged and for it to not, for one of your pair of undies to slip out of a package maybe unintentionally. So there is a necessity for packaging, but can we be doing it better? Absolutely. So do we need to be using virgin plastics? Should we be using recycled materials? Even for example, we're seeing like rental platforms that are sending that garment to you and then you will send it back after an event, like reusable garment bags. Like there's no need for that to be in a plastic bag that's only going to be used once. There are also some mailers that more independent brands are experimenting with where you pay a deposit for your new garment to come in a reusable garment bag that you will then send back to them and get your deposit back. So there are kind of really cheeky and quite clever innovations coming. We just need to see them on a much broader scale because, for example, the sustainable fashion sector is projected to grow in the next 5 years to about $20 billion. But like by comparison, the fast fashion industry is projected to grow to nearly $200 billion.
Oh, wow.
Those really kind of green shoots, exciting opportunities happening in sustainable fashion and those independent, the small brands really trying to make their mark. But how do we kind of get those practices going on a much broader scale?
Well, thank you so much for raising awareness of it, Taylor, and joining us on Joy Drive.
It's my pleasure. Take care.
Thank you, Dr. Taylor Bridges, Research Principal at the Institute for Sustainable Futures at the University of Technology, Sydney.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.